Hey, before we get into the episode, I just want to tell you about my free astrology newsletter called The Starzologer. It comes out every Sunday. It's a lot of interest for astrologers. I explore cosmic currents moving through the ever-changing skies. Most weeks I explore what's coming up in the week and also share some astrology sticky bits and throw in some ideas about buzzing around. You also get stretched with my extend yourself sections. So this newsletter is for aspiring astrologers or anyone who's trying to up their astrological knowledge. It's totally free and you can sign up at starzology.com/newsletter. Now let's get into the show.
Welcome to the Starzology Astrology Podcast. I'm your host, Arwen O'Neill, and today I'm going to be doing a podcast by myself, and it's going to be a short deep dive into Mars in Taurus, which it currently is in. We're in July of 2024 now, and Mars spends about 6 weeks approximately to 2 months in each sign, and it takes about 2 years to go around the sun. So there are some retrograde periods, and it varies about every 26 months. So it won't always spend the same amount of time in each sign, but we're going to be doing Mars ingresses from now on, and thought it would be a good time to jump right in and talk about Mars in Taurus. So Mars covers about a half a degree per day, which means that even if you don't know exactly what time you were born, you can have a pretty good idea of the exact degree of your Mars, which is nice. I personally have Mars in Taurus, and it's exactly opposite my ascendant in Scorpio, give or take a few degrees, which is an interesting placement because that puts it right on my descendant. And Mars, of course, is, let's define it, it's the planet of drive, ambition, activity, aggression, and it's one of the planets that you would look at in a relationship chart, or you would also look at it to determine how you behave in relationships and what you want out of relationships. So traditionally, we would say that Mars is the masculine energy and Venus is the feminine energy in your chart, but those are just archetypes. It doesn't actually mean male and female. In the modern world, we think of it more like the Venus energy in your chart is how you attract others to you, and the Mars energy in your chart is how you go after what or who you are attracted to. So in Taurus, Mars is a bit of a passive planet, it's a bit of a passive energy when it's in when Mars is in Taurus. And I'm going to quote a bit here from Stephen Arroyo in his excellent book, Person to Person Astrology, Energy Factors in Love, Sex, and Compatibility. He says that when Mars is found in Taurus, the aggressive urges are held under control, but should never be underestimated because they are powerfully stubborn and persistent. He says that this placement of Mars is rarely aggressive, but people with Mars in Taurus can be some of the most willful, purposeful, obstinate beings in the world in terms of their unrelenting pursuit of their goals and desires. So it's kind of a slow burn energy. And Mars is, in the traditional sense, it obviously is the god of war. So this is how you, this is not only how you go after the object of your love or lust, but it's also how you fight. It is how you maybe approach things like exercise or work when it comes to like your ambitions and your goals for yourself. So Mars in Taurus is not particularly enterprising. It's not particularly fiery or energetic, but it is very persistent and very stubborn. So once you get started on something, you can be like, you know, doggedly, aggressively pursuing what that is that you want. And in a lot of cases, this will be something creative. This will be something working with your hands. This can be something using your voice, which is interesting since I do have a podcast and I like creating art. So those are definitely, I think, Mars in Taurus kind of pursuits. I always think of Mars in Taurus as the Ferdinand the Bull placement. And if you're not familiar with it, it was Ferdinand the Bull is a children's story. I'm not sure when it was written, but of course I grew up in the 70s and 80s. So it was a great deal before that. And he was a bull who lived in Spain and he was recruited to be in the bullfights, but he didn't want to fight. He just wanted to smell the roses. So he was like this big, huge bull. And when they put him in the ring and threw flowers, he just stopped and smelled the roses. And I think of that as the Mars in Taurus energy. So what is Taurus? What does Taurus mean in any planet? Taurus is a sensual feminine earth sign. Taurus is a fixed sign. So it has a lot of very steady energy. It's got a very physical sort of presence. It likes the finer things in life. It likes fine fabrics. It likes good food. It likes something of quality. It likes good music. It likes to be surrounded by comfort and things that it enjoys. People who have the sun in Taurus, and maybe you know people who have Mars in Taurus, they're not the most aggressive people in the world. It takes a lot to get them angry. But when they do get angry, it's a slow burn and their tempers take a long time to flare, and it sometimes can take a long time to calm them down. There's just this kinetic energy that ramps up very, very slowly, and then it takes a long time to kind of gear down as well. Stephen Arroyo goes on to say in his book that the core qualities of Mars in Taurus are that they assert themselves steadily, retentively, conservatively, and stubbornly. Their initiative and drive are directed towards consolidation, productivity, comfort, and enjoyment of life's simple pleasures. They often have a creative or artistic flair, and their physical energy and sexual drive are influenced by a deep appreciation of the physical senses, which may lead them to complacency or laziness. And it's interesting because in my personal life, I can definitely see not laziness, because I like to be intellectually engaged and I don't ever like to just sit and do nothing. I have absolutely no luck meditating, for example. But there's a conservation of energy that I can definitely see in myself and in this placement. I never like to be bored, but my idea of doing nothing is probably a little bit different from other people's. And this could be mental pursuits. This could be watching some engaging TV show or listening to an engaging audiobook, but just sitting and doing absolutely nothing is not for me. I like to sew. I like to keep my hands busy. I had a while there where I was making jewelry with my hands and like beading. People with Mars in Taurus or any kind of prominent placement with Taurus, actually, they tend to be really great at either fixing things or cooking or working in the garden. Just kind of little things that they do with their hands. It's a very earthy, hands-on, tangible kind of energy. These pursuits can be very satisfying for anyone with Mars in Taurus. So if you have Mars in Taurus and you haven't found your thing, maybe try something with your hands and see how that works out. Your Mars placement really has to do with the kind of exercise that you like to do, as well as how you approach not necessarily work, but like the day-to-day repetition of work or the ambition for which you pursue higher levels in your career. And I've said that I don't think Mars in Taurus is a very enterprising position. And of course, that can be ameliorated by any other placements you have in your chart. Like if you're a Capricorn with Mars in Taurus, it's going to be a whole different ballgame than myself, for example, which is Virgo. Everything with a grain of salt. And it's all creating this whole matrix of your personality. Just to talk a bit about from my personal experience, the forms of exercise that I tend to enjoy are, and I think this is really expressed by Mars in Taurus, are things that I can do more or less mindlessly. I love dancing, but I have a really hard time learning choreography. And this has been a challenge I've kind of taken up in the last couple of years when I have begun to take burlesque classes, because you are given maybe 6 weeks to learn a song. And there's always a part where, you know, maybe 3 weeks in, I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? This is so hard. It's impossible to wrap my mind around the choreography. I'm never going to get it. It's that physical discipline that I like about it. But at the same time, it's not a natural physical expression of creativity. Like if you had, I think, maybe Mars in Pisces or maybe even Libra, you might have a different physical expression of that kind of creativity. Expressing yourself through dance might come more naturally if you had a lot of placements in Libra or Pisces, and maybe even Gemini, because maybe there's a duality thing. Maybe those dual signs are something about balance. But for someone with Mars in Taurus, there's this dogged determination to get the steps right. And I think the natural grace that I admire in other dancers absolutely does not come naturally to me. And similarly with music, I love to hang out with musicians. I love to, you know, play along with like mild percussion, like maracas or like the little egg shakers that we have or something like that. I don't have a natural sense of really great timing. I wouldn't say tone deaf, but I'm like tone deaf adjacent. Like, so those things definitely don't come naturally to me, but I really admire them. I want to be included. But it's funny because I really don't feel like they come naturally to me. And I think someone with Mars in Taurus might feel hindered by that lack of, it's not a lack of grace, but it's something where your pursuit of the goal is one step in front of the other. And you're seeing each step individually, but you're not seeing the entire choreography or the entire production. It's not all naturally coming together. And of course, regardless of, you know, your other placements, this is just my interpretation purely of the Mars in Taurus. There's tons of people who are Taurus sun who have incredible musical talent and grace. And you know, this is a very feminine, and it's ruled by Venus, of course, which is also interesting. So Mars in Taurus is actually in detriment because it is the natural ruler of Mars is either Scorpio or Aries, kind of the opposite. Another interesting thing is the love of the outdoors. And you really see this with a lot of Taurus placements. If you're still trying to find some kind of activity to do, maybe getting outside would be the answer. Something that you can do in nature or just outside and getting fresh air and walking. I mean, walking is, you know, fantastic exercise. I love roller skating outside. I don't love being in the gym. The idea of, you know, counting reps and being trapped in an exercise room with a bunch of other people waiting my turn on the next machine is like pretty much the opposite of how I like to exercise. That may be my Mars in Taurus. It's not a beautiful, flowing, fun pursuit, that form of exercise.
So when you have Mars in a certain sign, I find that it tends to attract people with placements in that sign. And this is definitely true in my life. I have several friends who are Taurus sun, and we like to do active things together. I have a friend who we go biking around the seawall. I have another friend who we like to go roller skating together. The basis of our friendship is being super active and doing these fun physical things together. And we also have a meeting of the minds at the same time, and we, you know, enjoy dancing and all these things together. So if you have Mars in any placement, it might be interesting to see what kinds of friends you are attracting through your activities or through common pursuits or goals or ambitions. Of course, with any Mars placement, you're really going to want to contrast it with wherever your Venus is. So in my case, I have Mars in Taurus and I have Venus in Libra, and those are both ruled by Venus. So there's an interesting contrast there. And Venus is in its exaltation in Libra, whereas Mars in Taurus is in its detriment. So definitely Venus is stronger in my chart, and that's something that you'd want to look at in your chart, depending on where you have Venus and Mars. And this is also really important to consider in relationships and how your Mars and Venus placements will contrast or collaborate with other people's Venus and Mars. So a couple more key words about Mars in Taurus. They're sensual, they're generous, they like to express themselves physically in relationships and in general, artistically. They don't tend to be very verbal when it comes to expressing their emotions or their needs in a physical sense to their partners. And they can be seen as possibly ignoring the needs of their partner if they're not expressed to them in a way that is correspondingly understandable to them. So they're not the kind of person who is going to usually sit down and talk about, you know, what they enjoy sexually, for example, in the beginning of a relationship. That's a super awkward conversation, all other things being equal. Stephen Arroyo goes on to say that both men and women with Mars in Taurus have very strong, consistent sexual drives and powerful sensual urges. The physical world is ultimately real to them, and they have strongly developed senses of touch. Although they may lack a spark of Mars fire, and they tend to be more cautious, not wanting to expose themselves to ridicule if they don't believe that their affections are going to be returned. So this is definitely not the make the first move type of person, and I can totally personally attest to that. But they are very sensual and generous, even if they don't like to communicate verbally about their own needs or the needs of their partners. And another astrologer named Grant Louis, that's Lewi, is one of the OGs from even before Stephen Arroyo's time. He said about Mars in Taurus that they tend to be somewhat passive aggressive. They may not fight you, but they will wait you out and stubbornly refuse to give in until you consider their point of view. He says their motto is, "I don't want to fight, let's just do it my way." And a few famous people with Mars in Taurus include Bruce Willis, Charlize Theron, Christian Bale, Helena Bonham Carter, Henry Cavill, Robert De Niro, Madonna, Michael Jackson, Kanye West, Tom Cruise, John F. Kennedy, Jennifer Lawrence, and Muhammad Ali. So during the 2 months that Mars is in Taurus, or in any sign for that matter, you're going to want to look, if it's not where you have your personal Mars, you're going to want to look at the house that Mars is transiting through, and that's going to flavor those 2 months. And I'm not going to go through all of the houses, because then we'd have to do that every single time we do a Mars ingress episode, and that would be very repetitive. But what you can do is look at your chart and see where Mars is going to be transiting, depending on where, what house you have Taurus in, or think about the meaning of those houses and what it would look like to have Mars lighting up that particular realm of your life for the next 6 weeks to 2 months, or a little bit longer, depending on the retrogrades. So just as a couple of examples, if it's going through your first house, it's going to give you a boost in your personality. It's going to make you more forceful in doing things to either bolster your ego or to get your point across or to further your aims and your ambitions in life. It's a great time to assert yourself, especially if you've been avoiding conflict or avoiding standing up for yourself. So this is a great time to fight for your own rights or to fight and stand up for other people. This is a time when your energy levels can be very high and you can accomplish a great deal more than you normally would or than you have been while Mars was going through your 12th house, which is obviously the house right before the first house. Mars in Taurus in the first house, just to sort of, you know, do the math and put that together, you'd maybe want to start up that garden or start up a new physical activity or start up some kind of crafty pursuit and put something artistic and creative into action. Mars in the third house, it's obviously the house of communication. You may want to start journaling or start up communication plan at work or with loved ones, put together like a WhatsApp group chat and keep in touch with people, make a point of expressing yourself verbally or in writing, putting things into effect communication-wise. It's a great use of that energy if Mars is transiting through your third house. And moving forward, if it's moving through your seventh house, of course, that's the house of relationships. If there's been any tension in your relationship, now might be a time to creatively work through those conflicts, go to a kickboxing class together, or start some kind of physical activity that you can do together, go on like long bike rides together, or even go to the gym together, because I know lots of people enjoy that, even if I don't. And this can be a great time to work together for a common goal. And you can find compromises and avoid needless conflict in a lot of pursuits where maybe it's been sort of difficult to come to agreement. This is a time where you can forge ahead, just moving through a couple of the big houses. Let's go to the 10th house. This is, if Mars is going through your 10th house, this could be a great time to stand up for yourself in your workplace, make a career move that you've been avoiding or that's been on the back burner. You may have conflicts with coworkers or bosses at this point, but you should be able to express yourself in a way that puts your needs forward in constructive ways and hopefully constructive. We always want to look at how Mars is placed in your chart, whether you tend to be the kind of person who brings up conflicts with others or who has trouble compromising in general, because obviously no placement of Mars by transit is going to ameliorate that completely. But we work with the energies that are given to us. So that's just a little bit of a glimpse of what it looks like as it's transiting through the houses. And we're going to be talking pretty soon about Mars going into Gemini. That happens late July, I believe. But of course, these are going to be relevant every 2 years when Mars comes back to the same position. So we will do a bit of an overview every time Mars moves for a while. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you found value in this episode, please feel free to share it with anyone you think might be interested. You can reach out to us at starsology@gmail.com. You can find us on our website at starsology.com, and you can support the podcast. There's a link on the homepage of Starsology. You can find me at mspink.net, mspink.net. If you want to follow my blog, that would be amazing. See you next time. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer or someone who's learning astrology or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a 1-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a 1-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.